Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. We'll begin reading in verse 20, so stand when you find that. John chapter 17. The song was fitting for the message. The kids this morning sang "Send the Light," and "I'm Not Ashamed." This morning, "This Little Light of Mine." Seems that we have a little bit of a theme going on, and that's precisely the case. Look at verse 20 in John 17. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's you and me. Jesus isn't talking about the disciples right there. He's talking about the people who would come to salvation because of the message of the disciples. That's you and me. Let's read it again. "Neither pray I for these alone," speaking of the disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." Now, why all this stuff about one and being in unity and having that connection to Christ? Why the importance of this, Jesus? Verse 23, the last part. "And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." The world needs to hear about Jesus. The world needs to see the light. The world needs what you and I have. Our light needs to shine for God in this world. And that's our mission. And if we don't do it, the world will remain in darkness. So we have a very important mission. So consider that this morning. Let's have prayer and we'll get into the message. I pray for your help this morning. I pray for your touch, dear Father. I pray that the message would touch to the hearts of those that are in need this morning. Reprove, rebuke, correct, instruct, exhort. Lord, all the needs that are represented in this room, I pray your word would touch, your spirit would touch hearts. I pray for wisdom in communicating the message. I pray for understanding of your people. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It was more than 30 years ago in the Gulf of Mexico that a man named Daryl Dorr was working on an oil rig when the rig suddenly started to wobble. Before too long, the rig itself started to tip onto one side, and then it began to crash into the water in the Gulf of Mexico. Daryl found himself trapped in a room on the rig. As the rig sank deeper and deeper into the water, the lights went out, and the room Daryl was trapped in began to fill up with water. Thrashing about in the darkness, Daryl made a safe, or rather a life-saving discovery. In the corner of his room was a giant air bubble. And he made his way to that air bubble, found the ability to survive in that time. Daryl kept his head inside that bubble of air, prayed that someone would find him. As he prayed and waited for hours in the darkness, Daryl saw a tiny little star or glimmer of light in the pitch black of the water. He wondered if it was real. He had been running out of oxygen in that air bubble, and he was starting to wonder if he was hallucinating. He squinted his eyes, and the light seemed to grow a little bit brighter. He squinted again, and he realized this is not a hallucination. The light was real. It was coming from the helmet of a diver who was coming to rescue him. And so his long nightmare was over and he was saved. That is the light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The world needs Jesus. The world needs the light. That is our mission, to dive into this world with the light to save the lost. That's our mission. That was the disciples' mission. Jesus was going to leave. He had told them about his leaving. And he had told them that their responsibility was to get the light into the world. Why would Jesus pray for the unity of the believers? Look at verse 20 again. Neither I pray, or rather pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So who is this? This would be the people in the future generations that would hear the gospel and would get saved as a result of the light shining, the glory of God shining in their lives, rescuing them from the darkness. That's you and me. Jesus says, verse 21, the first phrase, that they all may be one. Jesus knew that he was going to die, he was going to raise, he would be ascended to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit, the apostles with the power of the Holy Spirit, they would preach the gospel, and then people would get saved. They would get rescued from the darkness. And therefore, because of this mission, and because of the ability that the Spirit of God gives us to preach the Word of God, and the touch of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the lost, there would be future believers, and Jesus knew that to be the case. So he prayed for the unity of these future believers. Why would that be important? Melissa and I in the past would, you know, experience times with the kids that they would use their deceptive gifts, abilities to try to, you know, manipulate a situation to get their way. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, they would come to mom first. You always go to mom first, by the way. There's like a 75 greater percent chance mom's going to say yes than dad. I think most kids understand that. So they go to mom first. Mom says no. So then they figure out a way to ask the same question with different words to dad. See what dad says. And sometimes, you know, it works. But only those kind of things, those kind of deceptive sort of manipulative things with the kids. And by the way, that's just in the nature of the kids, right? That only works when mom and dad aren't on the same page. It only works when mom and dad aren't in unity. Because when mom and dad are together and we're on the same page, then they're not going to get away with that kind of tactic or plot. This kind of unity is when two people are moving in the same direction. That's unity. That's what Jesus is talking about. A oneness. A togetherness. That can only come to people who are going in the same direction. You're not in unity if you're going in different directions, in other words. And so they would need to develop, the Christians, the believers Jesus is referring to, the apostles themselves, and by the way, referencing even in that verse, verse 20, you and us, all of us, you and I, that we would need to have this kind of unity, but how would we get it? How would we develop a oneness where we're together and going in the same direction? This would happen because we believe the same thing. It's the only way there can be a kind of unity, especially in the context of a church, is when we believe the same. Unity requires mutual obedience to the same message. And what is that message that the disciples would follow and then give to the world? It's the Word of God, family. It's the Word of God. So God's Word gives us that foundation of the unity. We build on top of that. Look at verse 21 again. I'm going to show you a couple of things. We're going to look at a few verses so you can see this is what Jesus is talking about. Verse 21, we're a little bit into the verse. I think about halfway through. That they all may be one. And then he said this, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And so as Jesus was one with the Father, we would be one with the Father and Jesus and with each other. Now, what was that? Verse 6. Follow along, please. You'll get this. I think this will really help. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept what? Thy word. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when Jesus said there was to be a kind of unity that Jesus had with the Father, and that we would have with God, the Father, and Jesus, and therefore with each other, would come from the Word of God. That's where it begins. We are in unity with each other because we have a joint or mutual submission to God's Word. As a father of multiple children, several of us in the room understand that our kids have distinct personalities, don't they? They're different from each other. Usually we describe it in our family as quiet to totally crazy. I don't know the technical personality terms, but we have all in between that. Somewhat quiet and reserved to, wow, what's wrong with you? you can't hold still. And so we have all these different personalities and quirks and, you know, little different things that they do. But when they have the same father, there are tendencies that they're all going to have similar, although they'll be different than each other. I was trying to think of a way to describe this, and I was thinking of the term stereotype. And stereotypes, when we think of it one way today, you know, have stereotypical, you know, American or millennial of today. But the word stereotype comes from the stamping, that steel piece that is what it was used in old times to stamp and print books. And so what you would have is this stamp, and it would be used to print books, and everything would be just the same. Well, that's not God's design for any person, is that we would all be exactly the same. We're not robots. And so I sort of did away with the stereotype, and I wanted to bring it up to you because that's not God's design for unity. Unity doesn't mean we're all exactly the same. It's more like a family. You have four crazy, or one not so crazy, and then down to the line to crazy, you know? And we're all different, but there's values that are the same. There's an understanding because we're being trained by the same Father. And so there's those tendencies that come as a result of being under the same kind of teaching. And that is what Jesus is referring to. We're going to share goals. We won't all be the same. I think there's something wrong with ministries where you have a lot of people who are exactly like each other. There's a little bit of danger there. And I think there's some expectation in some ministries, sometimes, perhaps, to have that kind of expectation where we would all be the same. I don't think Jesus is referencing that, but really, when we're under the same teaching, we're going to have the same kinds of goals. We're going to have the same mission. We're going to understand, anyway, that is the same mission, to reach souls, and we'll have our personality, but, you know, we'll have our differences, but we'll have mutual, desires. But I think maybe the greatest thing that we should at least all have is that we all have a mutual dependence on God, that we're all relying on Him to accomplish the mission. And so God's Word would bring that kind of unity. Let me say it like this. I read this in a commentary. It was almost poetic, and I just loved it. If we all believe it, and we're talking about the Bible, okay? If we all believe it, and we all follow it, then we will have unity because of it. So this kind of unity makes us into a light that shines in a dark world. And the more people who follow God in this kind of submission to His Word, the more people, the brighter the light. Look at verse 21, down close to the end of that verse. That the world may believe. Do you see that phrase? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When Jesus said, for God so loved the world, talking to Nicodemus, or when Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, when we say the world or whosoever, You understand we're talking about the lost who need to see and need to hear, who need to understand the gospel. These are the people that God has called us to reach. Have you ever heard the phrase, us four and no more? It's a mentality that churches or different organizations have where we almost in a way segregate ourselves because we're comfortable. God has never designed the church to be comfortable. We're to get the gospel into the world. We're to stay stirred up for the sake of the gospel. If we become comfortable with the size of our church, you know, well, you know, we can seat about 100 people. I don't know if you know this, but last Sunday, including the people who were here, which was, I believe, close to 70, and those that were watching online, we had 83. And that means if our capacity on the main floor here is 100, 83 is more than, this, be proud of me, okay, I did some math. This is more than 80% capacity. And all the books that I've read on ministry, which has been a lot, when you reach 80% of capacity of a building, you won't grow more than that. So our church in this building, with on the bottom floor here, not counting here or up in the balcony, which, by the way, who wants to sit in the balcony? Don't raise your hand. So just on the main floor, we're already right there at capacity. So we might say something like this. We're comfortable. No more people. Because I don't want to sit that close to somebody. Who really wants to sit close? I mean, we don't even sometimes want to sit close to our own family, much less somebody we don't know. If we're going to get more people in here, we're going to have to sit closer, though. If we're going to get more people, let's be realistic about it. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to build something. But if you're comfortable, then you're not going to have that kind of burden. And that's where I think as Christians, we have to be mindful of a tendency that could be in us to become comfortable and not let ourselves get there. Why? Because we're not here to be comfortable. We're here to be stirred up because we're the lights. We are the lights for this lost world. And you know that guy in the beginning who's, could you imagine if that was you in the water? And it gets dark because all the electricity goes off and you see the black. All you see is black. You're in an air bubble and you're running out of oxygen and you're praying. And you see a glimmer of light. You know what that glimmer of light is? It's hope. We're the hope for this world. We are. How is that, Pastor? Because we're the lights. This world is in darkness, and without the light, there is no hope. There's just one searching for one satisfaction after another, but there's no satisfaction without Christ. So we're the light. What does unity do for that? Because Jesus over and over in this passage says that they may be one, that they may be one, that they may be one. Why is that important? Because, watch, when we have unity, it makes our light brighter for the lost to see. Look at verse 22. I want you to hone in on this word, and then we'll come back and study it after we read our two verses here. Verse 22, it says, and the glory, that phrase, the glory, we're going to look at that, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So he said the glory. The word glory here would refer to the light of God. That's why I love this. And our title this morning is This Little Light of Mine. The glory of God is the Shekinah of God, which is the light of God. This isn't in my notes, but do you recall Moses when he came down from the mount and his light did glow so that Israel couldn't look on him? He had to put a veil over his face. Do you know what that light was? It was called the Shekinah glory of God. Watch, the light of God. When Paul was on the Damascus road and he was kicked from his donkey to his face, not by a man, but by a light. that was so bright and brilliant that it surpassed the brightness of the sun. Do you know what Paul knew? Do you know Paul understood who he was talking to? He knew he was talking to God. He said, "Who art thou, Lord? This is the light of God that God wants to shine through us, the light of God shining through us that the world can see." Think of it like this. Let's say you go to a football stadium and there's a game, or maybe a wrestling match, a couple of wrestlers here, or a basketball game. And you're in the auditorium or the gymnasium, and one light comes on. One light. Packed auditorium, packed gymnasium. All the players are ready to play and they're on the court, and there's one light. Now we would be able to see. Our eyes would kind of adjust, but we wouldn't see very well, would we? But when you're on a football field or in the stadium and it's night, or you're in a gym and all the lights come on, here's the point. The more lights, the more people can see. So God desires that we, as the light of Him and as His Word shines in us, then we shine God to the people around us. And in this world, as they come into contact with you and me, do you know what they're seeing? A light. And the more lights, the more people see. Sometimes people don't see. In this world, they don't see their need of God. They don't see a lot of things. Why? Because in this world, you know, you understand, when God's Word and God's light isn't shining, then there's darkness all around us. First, let me give you an example. Some people spread darkness by saying things like this: "There is no God." And so whenever someone who's vulnerable and young and they hear things like "there is no God" or "the Bible isn't true," then what those kind of statements do is they put a lot of pressure on people who are looking for the truth. And I'm perhaps in a world as one who's lost and needs to see the light and needs to understand we're searching for the truth. To hear statements like "there is no God" and "the Bible isn't true" and things that go along with that would then strike at the confidence that there is a God and cause us to have a level of confusion about what is true. And then continuing to be exposed to those kinds of ideologies would cause us to doubt, note this, to doubt our faith in God at all. And that pushes people not only into darkness, but further into darkness. And we live in a world like that, don't we? Sometimes friends are links on a chain, or like links on a chain. What do you mean? Well, you know, you understand links on a chain are together like that. And which isn't a bad thing. I think it's a good thing to have a friendship that's like a link on a chain. Sometimes it's not so good though. In the times when we're connected to a friend who in the world is on a wrong path, and you're linked to them like a chain, then what ends up happening is where they go, you go too. Sometimes people stay in darkness because their friendships are pulling them that way. Sometimes Satan gets on the end of that chain, doesn't he? Like an anchor, pulling people down further. Where? Into darkness. Lost people in the world, they don't see their need of God at times because they're surrounded by darkness and being pulled further down as they go. And we, you and I, are the ones who are to shine the light. You and I are the ones who are called of God to get the light to them so that they might see. We're going to save more people in this world when they see more clearly their own need of God. In other words, the brighter we shine together, the more people we're going to reach. And so you're needed. You're needed. Each and every one of you this morning, you're needed. Anyone watching online, you're needed. I can say that with confidence. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because we shine brighter when we have more people who are connected. Helping in the nursery, serving in children's ministry, singing in the choir, giving, cleaning, telling people about church, praying for souls, singing out loud, oh, happy day, but singing out. And I'm not a good singer. So, you don't have to be a good singer to be a bright light. But you do need to sing out. Saying amen!
Amen.
I was wondering if I'd get at least one. I knew you'd come through, Brother Tim. Saying amen. I mean, these are ways that we become light. That doesn't mean you have to say amen or you failed. No, no, no. These are ways that God can use us as a light that makes the light brighter. And the brighter the light, the more people see. And you can be a light shining in a world that points people to Jesus. You're needed. I was talking to someone about this the other day. I think it was either yesterday or Friday at the couples retreat. And we're seeing our church grow, and it's happening faster. But why? It's amazing. Why is it that a church grows faster the more people it gets? Because the light gets brighter. And when the light gets brighter, more people can see. Listen, if there's one or two lights shining, not very many people are going to see it. But when there's more lights, more people see. So getting connected means that we need to be submitted to the Word of God. It starts right there. We don't just become a brighter light by just following the pastor, doing whatever he says, or becoming a stereotype Christian. I've come to the conclusion God is not interested in stereotypical Christianity. But you know what he is interested in? Christians who submit to the Word of God. And when we're all submitting to the same authority, which is God's Word, God, then we're going to be in unity together, which then makes us a brighter light. You can be a bright light. How? How, Pastor? How can I do this? I thought of some really good ways you could do this. You can wear your blue Valley Avenue Baptist Church shirt. You know the one that we got? I love that shirt. Amen. Wear that shirt and then drive the speed limit. I realize we can do this. Wear your shirt and then be sweet to people in town. Be gracious and kind and loving. How about being temperate, but make sure you have your shirt on? Don't lose your temper or blow any gaskets. I love this. This was my favorite thing of all the ways that God can use us in our Valley Avenue shirt. Take a picture of you in your shirt, make it your profile picture on Facebook, and then say godly stuff on Facebook.
Amen.
What a way that we can be a light. You can shine bright in our community by bringing up God to people in the world who are in need. And they're out there, aren't they? Talk about how God has blessed you because you're learning. You know, it's neat. I'm sitting under God's Word and He's changing me. I just want to talk about it. Did you know that when you talk about how you're growing in God, it makes you into a light? Talk to others about your salvation. I was chatting with, wasn't Brother Payne a blessing? I love to say Brother Payne. Brother Payne, he was a blessing. And he talked about his pastor and he talked about his testimony. And if you're saved, you have a testimony. We don't all have the same kind of testimony, do we? All of us get saved the same way if we're saved, but and how God touches us and works in us, it's very personal. And And so we all have little interesting things about our testimony that makes it different. But you can shine like a light when you tell people about your salvation. Oh, God touched me. He worked in my heart. And he was telling me I need to get saved. And I'll tell you what, I came to the Lord and I asked Him to save me because I knew I was needing salvation. I knew I was lost. I knew I needed to be saved. And you, the more people you tell about your salvation, the brighter your light is. You're a light. Yeah. With a personal invitation to a friend. If you don't have any friends, go back to the first point about the t-shirt. Be kind and nice. And I think maybe God will give you some friends. But a personal invitation to a friend. Think of this dialogue. I can tell you're struggling with some things right now in life. You're saying this to a friend. A coworker, a neighbor, a family, or just a friend. I can tell you're struggling with some things in life right now. I was wondering, would you be willing to come to church with me as my friend? By the way, I you should note this. I believe this is one of the most blessed ways to invite somebody to church. I never just say, hey, you want to come to church? Or, hey, would you like to come to church with me? I always say this. I would sure love if you came to church with me as my friend. Now, if they're not your friend, then maybe you shouldn't say that. But well, they probably should be your friend. Why would we say that to them? Well, because, you know, they're struggling. We notice that. And we could say this then. I know you would be helped there. It could be that what you're going through right now has brought you to a place where you need to realize that maybe what you need is God. What a way to shine as a light in a world that's struggling. They need God. Maybe you're the one that's to shine into them, into their life. It is true that God can greatly use you here. It is true. As a matter of fact, can I say it like this? I said it two times already, if you didn't note it yet. But I'm going to say it a third time. You're needed here. How can I be used? Because with God's help, you can help make the light of God shine brighter here. You can be a light shining in the world that points people to Jesus. And if you try to do things on your own, then you're weak. You're vulnerable. You're dim. You're like at a basketball game with one light. That's life when you don't have unity or togetherness. But together, we're bright. Some of you don't realize this, but God has already used you to shine bright. You say, well, what have I done? Well, I could say probably some specific things that you've done to shine into the lives of others, but to be connected as you are, and perhaps you don't even realize it, but because you're connected, you've made the light shine brighter here. There was a young pilot who flew for recreation. On one occasion, he flew a single-engine plane. He was by himself. He was decided it was time to go back to the airport, and he was flying. He was making his way back to this old, small country airport, and unfortunately, he had been out too long, and it started to get close to the vicinity of the airfield, and the sun was going down behind the mountains, and there was kind of a haze, and he was having trouble seeing the airfield. So by the time he maneuvered his plane in position, he couldn't see the runway. And so there was no lights on the runway to guide him. There was no one at the airfield. And he couldn't see. And he made a lap trying to come back around to get a better view. And by the time he made a couple of laps, the sun was completely down and it was so black he couldn't see. And he flew around the airfield for 2 hours, desperately hoping for a glimmer. It dawned on him that he was going to die when he ran out of fuel. And so then, as his panic grew more, a miracle happened. Someone around had heard the continuous drone of the engine and realized what was happening. And so he drove mercifully his truck onto the airfield, up and down the airfield with his lights of his truck on so that the pilot could see the airfield, parked at the end of the airfield with his lights shining on the strip so that the pilot could see. And the pilot safely landed. We are the lights. And we are living in a world of people who are flying around in the dark. And until we get a burden to shine our lights, then this world is destined to crash and to die. It's our job. We're the lights. So what do we do, Pastor? It starts with getting connected. Get connected. And then what? Shine. Connect yourself and shine. You say, well, Pastor, my light's so small. This light of mine is so little. Let it shine. And you know what will happen is God will work through you in connection to the work of God so that the light in Valley Avenue Baptist Church will be brighter because of you. You're needed. We're needed. I hope that this morning you will be inspired to get connected. And I hope that this morning that you'll be inspired to let your light shine brighter. Because we live in a world of darkness. And without us, they're lost. Bow with me if you would. Father, this morning we thank you for your word and, Lord, the touch of the Spirit as we hear not only the word of truth and the needs of the world around us, but how we can be used to get the gospel into the world as we shine brighter together in unity as a result of submission to your word. God, won't you touch your grace into this place, work in the hearts of your people that we might submit, connect, shine, and that we might see more souls saved in Fall City than ever before. We'll give you glory for that. It's all about you. We have no unity without you, Lord. We have nothing without you. But with you, Lord, we have everything that we need. We're equipped completely to shine bright. So we pray for your help in that way. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.